Uh-oh.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. This is the big show. You found it. I certainly am glad you did. I am Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm taking a break from painting. I'm all painted out for the day. Now, I might work on something a little later, but tonight, we've got a heck of a good show for you. We've got Mr. Rob Rickenbach on the line with us, and Josiah Johnson of the new movie, A Touch of Stardust. It's a romantic comedy, faith-based film out of Cincinnati, Ohio. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Doing well.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you guys, Rob was just telling me before we went on the air, you guys did a had the big opening night on Friday, right? The screening of the movie. How did that go?
I'll let you start, Rob.
It really exceeded our expectations. You know, you spend 7 or 8 months writing a script, you know, trying to write a movie that you would be interested in and you think will click with an audience, even though you have a cast of great actors who step forward and believe enough in the story to kind of make it a reality and bring it to life. You never quite know until the lights go down and, you know, the movie starts, how it's really going to connect, and it was really an overwhelming response. You know, we sold out a historic theater and, you know, ended with a raucous standing ovation and nonstop good reviews since then. So very positive.
Yes.
Outstanding. And outstanding.
I would say for me, the same thing. It was amazing to really see how everything came together because, you know, Rob had the opportunity, of course, to see the movie before, you know, the audience. So me being there, just not knowing what to expect, it's like you shoot a movie, but then you go to see it, you never know what cut's going to make it. So, you know, as an actor, it was unbelievable. I think Rob did a great job. Antoine, the director, he did a wonderful job. It was a great experience, a sold-out building in a city where I'm from, so I'm still on high.
It's hard to beat. That is hard. That's cool. That works. Yeah, no, making a movie. No, I'm not in the movie. That at the onset here, I'm a big movie fan. I love the whole. I'm just a big movie nut, but I have a lot of friends who are in the movie business. I understand. Like you were mentioning, well, I mean, you don't have nothing going on this weekend. You know, I think I'll make a movie. And take some. To get all this right and cooking and everything. You were saying 7 to 8, eh? That's just to get the script together, right?
Right. So, you know, I'll never forget, you know, so many years ago, you know, my goal when I came out of college originally was to write movies. And I'll never forget, you know, Kevin Smith kind of early on saying, you know, right before Clerks that, you know, the most important part of him getting Clerks, you know, to the cult status it was getting that script really tight. So I probably went through about 6 drafts. Every time I sat down to write a draft or change a draft, you find a new idea for a scene or something that, you know, could make it funny. And when I like to write, I like movies that have a lot of foreshadowing and have these threads or jokes, you know, callback jokes that show up later in the movie that were set up maybe, you know, 4 or 5 scenes ago. To get it right to where I was really comfortable and thought we could have something special, yeah, it took about 7 months.
Wow. Now, do you, I want to ask you, Rob, when you're writing, when you're in that creative process, when you're putting this together and doing rewrites and the like, do you try it out on people? Like, do you have friends and stuff? You're like, hey, check out this scene and, you know, blah, 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 kind of gauge the reaction, or do you don't want people to taste the stew before it's ready, so to speak.
No, you know what? I do it to a degree. I have a little circle of people who I knew. Like I have a great friend, Aaron Phillips, who I grew up with. Actually, you know, the relationship that Davis's character and the character I play in the movie is based a little bit on this friendship I had, you know, since high school. And he's a trusted person that kind of understands my sense of humor. And we grew up with the same influences in films that I'll run things by him. My kids, my wife. You know, I walked a fine line with the script of really trying to have this home run romantic story that is really a funny, silly, joyous experience as well, and has this faith-based twist that's not heavy-handed and will beat people over the head with its message. So it was challenging to get all three of those pieces right, which is the other reason it took so long. But I, to answer your question, I do test some things out on people, yes.
I hear you. Now, Josiah, when you get the script, how long is it, or in this case, how long was it for your read of the script to, like, the clacker coming down, you know, like seeing such and such action? Was there an amount of time for you to really get behind this character that you play?
I would personally say I had a good enough time to really – get behind Davis. To be honest with you, Davis was a character I was really, really able to relate to, so it didn't take much time. I got the script. Rob sent me the script, and he was like, hey, man, I got this film. It's for you. I wrote it, you know, fundamentally on you. I'm like, okay. So I read this script, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, this is like, I love this guy. I love Davis. You know, I love Davis. And, you know, I really fell in love with the character. You know, even I was telling Rob, even after, you know, we were done filming, and, you know, we were filming, you know, several months. And, you know, I really got attached to this character, Davis. You know, it was unbelievable. I think, like I said, Rob did such a great job of putting this thing together. I mean, I think a big thing in film, you know, you have to have great actors, but I think you have to have great writing. You have to have a great writer to make a great film, and Rob is a great writer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it looks phenomenal. I've been posting the trailer. The film's called A Touch of Stardust, and I want to let people know on our show site and stuff, social media, there's links right there to touchofstardust.com. You can get there and, you know, trailers and some behind-the-scenes type stuff and get to know the cast and everything. Now, the big party was Friday, that night, right, at the theater there in Cincinnati. That's pretty neat. Now, from then on, again, excuse my ignorance about home and how the mechanics of it work. Do you submit this to film festivals? Do you just show it, you know, every so often, or how exactly? How can
so,
people see it?
So in this case, you know, we kind of used our premiere as a test showing. You know, there's Hollywood likes to roll movies out to audiences to get some feedback, you know, before they release something, you know, and like in the case of Suicide Squad, so they can ruin it before they push it out to audiences. So we, you know, we had a lot of people anxious to see it, family and friends and people who had heard about the movie. You know, we've had a lot of media coverage. What's really been great is, you know, with the people I've spoken to, from, you know, some backers to distributors to local media, when they found out that I had this African-American cast in this really kind of Rockwell-esque romantic comedy that was really a positive, fun, kind of a joyous film, they've really been quick to embrace it. So we ran it as a kind of a test screening to see what we had. The audience has been overwhelmingly supportive. The next steps are to polish it. You know, a lot of post-production, you know, we still have some work and money to put into it. And then, you know, I do have some distributors and some other higher level producers who are really interested in seeing what we could do with it as far as maybe getting it released, you know, in certain markets, if not, you know, on the East Coast at least. And then, of course, there's film festivals and then, you know, Redbox, Video on Demand, DVD, Netflix and such.
Well, it's awesome. And I think that you, the reason I think it's resonating so well is it's a little different than what's out there, you know. Of course, there's no zombies in it. And no, I'm kidding. It's a different type of movie, ladies and gentlemen. But no, no independent.
But that's
filmmakers
a great point, because I use that analogy all the time. Is it's a road less traveled. I see, especially in independent film, horror seems to be the overwhelming kind of genre. And it's great and it's profitable. And, you know, there's always going to be an audience for horror movies. But, you know, these movies I grew up with, like Coming to America and Strictly Business and Living Large and the old Sidney Poitier, Bill Cosby movies that I was in love with, you know, that had these crazy characters that would populate around this one straight guy who was, you know, in this case, trying to follow his true love to the altar. I just think there's a place for that too, or I hope there was a place for that and it would resonate with audiences. And it looks like we may have been right as far as hitting that target.
Well, I'm telling you, if it was a horse, I'd bet on it, because I think that there is. It, you just don't see that much that often. And, you know, and the truth is, guys, you know, I've got a girlfriend, man. She likes watching that kind of stuff. And, you know, that makes her happy. And if that makes her happy, that makes me happy, you know.
Right.
Everything doesn't have to be action-packed all the time.
Can I add something to that? I think what makes the film great as well is that I think Rob created this recipe, and he has all these different dynamics and different film genres within this film. And like you said, he kind of took some of those old classic movies and blended it into this new modern day movie where you have romance, you have comedy, you have suspense, you have a little sci-fi, and there's just something for everybody to come out and enjoy together, you know? So again, I commend Rob for that.
And there's a great message, Josiah. You know, I love it, and I only know because what I've seen in the trailer. He says, "I just want," and I'm paraphrasing here. I'm probably messing it up. He says, "I just want what my grandparents had," and you know that. I think that applies on so many socio levels that we're dealing with today. You know, there's we live in fantastic times, and there's crazy stuff going on, and there's crazy bad stuff going on. But the thing is sometimes, you know, we all just kind of want what our grandparents had because they seem to have something pretty cool. You know, I mean, that generation seemed to hold it together a little easier. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm sugarcoating it, but I don't think so. At least in my case. You know, my grandparents
and
put up with a lot of stuff.
You're absolutely right. There was a sense of value.
I agree with you.
That resonated, you know, and this power in those values and virtues that, you know, define them as, you know, quote unquote, our greatest generation, depending on how far back you want to go. And in this case, you know, what I really wanted to do was provide, you know, real happy escapism. You know, if you're going to spend 2 hours in this world that I've kind of, you know, populated with these funny characters, escapism doesn't always have to be, you know, California sliding off into the ocean or zombies chasing you down the street. It could be just a guy who, you know, idolizes his grandparents, has a second chance to marry this woman who he once blew his opportunity with, and then, you know, put some characters in it and some opportunities for real humor, not... Sometimes I watch rom-coms and they force jokes in that don't seem to fit. You know, they're funny, but they're manufactured versus humor that comes from real relationships in real life.
Right. Absolutely. I noticed that too from time to time watching romantic comedies. You're like, and oftentimes I'm just like, well, I guess that just isn't. I don't relate to that. but then sometimes I think you're absolutely right. It's like, oh, that was a long way for that joke. But, you know, it seems like you've really got something here, and that's a good thing. I wanted to ask you, Rob, now, did you just do, is this your first feature? I mean, did you set out doing a feature film, or did you make a bunch of shorts and play them in coffee houses and stuff, or what's the story there?
Sure. So, again, I came out of college trying to be a writer, or at least having ambition to, and the world was a little different then, not to show my age, but, you know, back in, like, when Kevin Smith, who I referenced earlier, made Clerks, you had to have a really significant amount of money, especially for 25 years ago, and I mean, you know, $50,000 or $100,000, whether it was on credit cards or you had a backer, and it, there was, you had to film it. You know, it was a much more challenging process than it is now.
Right.
So, actually, Josiah and
an actual film,
right? So, through a really talented writer here in town, her name is Terry L.B. She's an award-winning writer who does a lot of Christian films, and her husband is a producer named Joe Sofer, who I went to high school with. So he put me in this movie a couple years ago as an actor with Josiah. That's how we met. And it kind of got the juices flowing again. So I went back to this drawer full of scripts. I pulled one out from about 12 years ago about a guy who goes back to high school to remedy this true love that he once blew. And I changed it and said, I'm going to write a movie for Josiah Johnson. And I kind of found my voice from being in this other movie, right? And I kind of realized, rather than try to write movies that I think everybody wants to see, I'm going to write a movie that I want to see. And
absolutely.
We ended up with A Touch of Stardust.
That's cool. You know, I'm a painter by trade, and I've sometimes fallen into that trap where I'm painting to sell it. You know, I'm painting it. I'm like, okay, I need a washing machine. The washing machine broke. I need to make some money real quick here. Let me knock something out. And you know what? It's a mediocre painting that comes out because I'm not doing it because I wanted to do, you know. Does that make any sense? You know, it's like creatively.
Absolutely.
It's not coming from the heart or the soul or the, you know, the,
right,
the depths of your creative, you know.
And you're
the,
right. You know, the thing is
fire.
When you do it for yourself, and it doesn't matter what creative field you're in, but when you're doing it, when you're making that movie that you want to see, it just tends to work out better, you know, creatively, I think, you know, and commercially. That just always seems to be the case, you know, from everything I've seen. That's
no,
cool.
I think that's true. I think you see a lot of screenwriters who their first movies are their best movies because those are the ones when they had nothing to lose. They were writing from their heart with, you know, themes and ideas that were really of interest to them. And then, of course, someone comes along and, you know, we should all be so lucky to have someone give them a big check and say, no, I want you to write this. And it's never as good. It's spectacle, but it's void, you know, creatively. So,
right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it happens. And you're right. And that happens a lot. You see it happen with musicians a lot, you know, where they'll have that big hit and then they're like, oh, I got to follow up this. And they're just chasing the commercial side of it. And there's nothing wrong. And don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these people saying, you know, well, you know, I like being able to go to Ruth Chris's, you know, can't always do that, but we like to do it when we can. But so, you know, you got to get paid for what you do, but creatively we're talking, ladies and gentlemen. And it's interesting because despite the canvas, despite the medium, it seems to be some common themes in that process. And I find that fascinating. I wanted to ask you on the acting side of it, were you always an actor as a kid growing up? Were you had the acting bug? This is what you wanted to be doing?
You know what's so crazy, and I don't know if I told this to Rob, but a buddy of mine actually did some acting when I was younger. I always loved the performing. I always loved performing. But a buddy of mine, I don't know if you're familiar, they shot Miles Ahead, which was, it was a film on Miles Davis. And they shot it here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Don Cheadle was the director and lead actor in a film. And a buddy of mine was like, hey, man, they looking for extras, man. You know, why don't you try it out? I'm like, I do it for fun. But, you know, I didn't really take it seriously.
Yeah.
But that day when I stepped on that set, it just transformed my mind, and it was like, this is what I want to do. And it's just
right.
so funny that years down the line, I get to play a character named Davis Miles.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. Serendipity.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good
yep.
that Miles Davis, I remember that film. That's a excellent film. Man, yeah, anything about Miles Davis is going to be pretty cool. You know, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
he
don't get much cooler than
was.
That.
No, you don't. You know, you absolutely don't. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
That's right, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, when you order from Metal Babe Mayhem, use my code POPROCKS, POPROXX. When you check out, there's a little space there. Put in POPROCKS, and you save 20% off your whole order. How cool is that? Then what you should do with all that cash you saved, go over to my website and buy a painting. I'm kidding. You could if you wanted to, but you don't have to. But what you should do is use my code POPROCKS, and you'll save 20%. On your order from Metal Babe Mayhem. Cool stuff, man. Cool stuff.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Well, that's pretty cool, you know, and then, so you, and as Rob said, you guys met on this other film. That's pretty, you know, that's one of the things I'm very envious in my business. You know, I hardly meet anybody in that, as far as like working wise. You know, I'm not, don't hang out with other painters and we all paint together. That doesn't used to happen when I was younger, before, you know, in an art school and stuff. But now that we're all grown up, we don't do that kind of stuff. But
right.
That's cool. So you guys, you know, you had this friendship that formed and whatnot. And then, man, I'm telling you, and then to just say, okay, I'm going to make a feature film, that's got to be a daunting, you know, wow, that's a big job, you know?
Yeah, it was. And I think you know, me and Rob, we just, I think we just connected, you know. And, you know, these film productions, really, you really become family. And, you know, you on set with each other sometimes 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. So it's like you have all this time to connect outside. Because you, sometimes you're waiting, you know, you're waiting for the crew to set up another set, another scene. So you got lights, you got camera, you got different things going on. So you have, you know, a lot of people don't know that there's a lot of downtime shooting films. It's not just one scene, okay, action cut, already done. You know, it's a lot of downtime. So, but yeah, we really connected. And, you know, Rob is a great guy, man. And, you know, like I said, I'm just honored to know him and to, for him to entrust me to be the lead role in his film is truly a blessing and an honor.
That's very, very cool. Well, you know, that's just cool to work with, you know, and everything's vibing and it's working and everybody's getting along. That's awesome. Yeah, I was on a friend of mine. She was making a film and a bunch of clouds came over. You know, and it changed all the lighting fundamentally, and we had to wait exactly like you're saying, Josiah, for like 3 hours until the lighting came back the way it was. Very, very boring, but I thought it was kind of
exciting.
You know,
I'm Mother Nature,
I was on a film set. I think that was pretty cool. Everybody else was like, "Yeah, Jamie, we're tired of it. Let's get on with it." That's cool. Now, you guys, the screenplay has won a couple of awards. There's some accolades going on here, folks. Best screenplay of the 2017 Christian Film Festival, and official selection best screenplay of the 2017 International Christian Film Festival. And I predict this will go on to win many more awards and whatnot as it makes those rounds. That's got to be pretty, you know, you got to be proud of that, you know. I mean, you guys, this movie, here it is, getting these big awards and stuff.
Definitely.
That's cool.
And what's really kind of fun about it is it's not, you know, someone said, well, you know, it's not really a Christian film festival or a Christian script. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, it's not, you know, sometimes, and my goal when I wrote it was sometimes in these movies where they try to weave faith, it's heavy. And it's it can be difficult to watch. Not, you know, Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas and these examples where it's just kind of heavy-handed, and nothing against Kirk Cameron. But I wanted there to be a lot of different facets to it, and there is an element of faith because, you know, I am a person of faith, and I like this idea of this character who has strong faith kind of being in this world where everybody else is just as crazy as what we deal with every day. But it's really a comedy and a romantic comedy at heart. There's this element of it. So to get awards in these Christian festivals who are recognizing not just that, well, there's an element of God in it, but you know what, this was a really fun movie to read. That's the most rewarding. And now we're starting to get notoriety from these other festivals that are just commercial film festivals for movies that have commercial potential. And that's really the icing on the cake.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, it's fantastic that you're hitting both markets. Market's not probably the right word I'm trying to think of, but it doesn't matter. Both sides of it, both of those avenues. I think that's cool, you know. But yeah, you know, and it's, I hear you. I hear you on the heavy-handedness of it. But, you know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people of faith in this country. I mean, that's just, that's how it is, man. I think there's a giant market for that. And you can see that, you know. People, you know, it's interesting. People get stuck in their bubbles, I think, and they don't realize, you know, oh, well, there's people that have, you know, that are into this or into that, or because they get wrapped in their own thing. And, you know, I mean, hey, you know, if there's a lot of Christians that like to have a good time and laugh for a couple hours, more power to them, man. We need more of that in the world. All around. Every bubble needs that, you know, let's all have a good time. I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
People see the Christian part of it or the faith-based part of it, and they avoid it. Because it's although it's not for everybody, there's this reputation that those movies aren't by nature fun. or commercial
or
in concept, right?
Right.
This is a commercial romantic comedy that has a faith-based element. And when, you know, the most rewarding part, at least from the 400 people who got to watch it Friday night, is that you really do leave uplifted and in a better mood than when it started. So, you know, that's all you can ask for when you spend 7 months of your life writing it and you push it out there.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, it sounds from what I've seen in the trailer and whatnot, and you guys have mentioned this too, kind of that, and I don't want to say it's a dated thing. That's not the point I'm getting at, but it kind of that, I don't know what happened to those movies, you know, kind of the 90s, you know, there was a lot of, not just movies, but entertainment, television, you know, Martin and all that. And man, I used to watch a lot of Martin and Gina. That was my show. I don't know what happened to it. You know, I liked it because I grew up in Detroit, so I'm kind of like, they always make these Detroit references in it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, you know, I mean, just kind of lighthearted comedies, faith-based or not. I don't think faith is a scary word, or it shouldn't be. You know, it shouldn't be. You know, we're all in a Judeo-Christian society here. You know, whether you like it or not, everybody gets annoyed if a store is open at Christmas time. That's all. You know, anybody I know that has a problem with faith-based stuff, they're the first person to complain if they see, you know, a store open on holiday or like a Christian holiday, Easter or something.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay. you know, we all like to have that day off. Just saying, you know. And, you know, it's just, that's cool, though. That's cool. I think there's a big market for that. I definitely think. And in Cincinnati, there definitely is. And other parts of the country. I live in South Florida, man. I'm down. I travel in the South all the time. There's definitely a market for that here. But that's good, you know. But I say that jokingly. You know, I have friends of faith based in all over the place. I can't even think of anywhere people living that I know. Yeah, California, all over. But that's cool. So this will be cool for you guys. I'm sorry.
I was going to say with the faith base and with, you know, what he was saying with the faith base, I think when people hear faith base, it's like, it's kind of heavy, but I think Rob did the faith base in this film was a faith base that we can all relate to. You know, it wasn't completely, take this, you know, this is what you should believe.
Right.
It wasn't one of those condemning faith-based movies. It was one of those fundamentally something that we can all connect with faith-based movies, you know?
Yeah, the romance our grandparents had. I'm telling you, that is so true. We all want that. We all want it. They seem to have something with it, man.
But the nice part is, you know, we had 400 people watch it Friday night, and They said they liked the faith-based element, but that was about the fifth thing that came up. The first parts were fun. It was funny. It was romantic.
Right.
It was interesting. It was, you know, really kind of an engrossing story with, you know, great characters and great twists. So, you know, it played right. You know, it played about as well as I could hope when I, you know, hit save the last time.
I hear you.
Was ready to shoot it.
Well, I have to ask, Rob, now when you're writing this, you know, is there a lot of Rob in Davis, or is there more Rob in the Chris character?
Well, you know, and I'm in it, though.
Both.
I play a character. I actually play a character in it. So there are elements of, you know, things you pick up or personality traits as you find interesting things about characters or even yourself that you put into places. So it's not, you know, I will tell you, so that the grandparents' romance is actually based on a true story. So so my grandfather happened to have been dating Doris Day, who was an actress who most people have heard of.
Wow.
And met my grandmother, and all bets were off at that moment. So I kind of used that as this backdrop. And, you know, I will be the first to tell you, my grandparents met the world of me both sides. of my grandparents. So there are elements of the grandmother character that I certainly pulled from my grandmother's. But I'm really kind of the sarcastic character I play in the movie. A lot of elements, you know, there's
I got
stuff through my kids in the movie, and there's conversations that I've had with him at one point. You know, my son had came into my room once and said, you know, what's your plan if the moon ever explodes while you're on the toilet? Well, that made the cut. So for Davis in particular, you know, he's a much more earnest, kind of genuine old soul that I
right.
isn't necessarily me, but I think exists. And then Chris, the actor who plays Chris, is phenomenal. He actually was in this movie that I met Josiah on a couple years ago, and you know, he is, although in pieces the stereotypic ladies man, he's also a guy who's got this big heart and this you know, he's a character you've probably seen before, especially in those 90s movies, but is a likable, you know, character who gets redeemed at the end as well. So a lot of fun characters and,
nice,
you know, interesting twists in it.
Oh, that's cool. That's, I like a movie like that. I like a movie where you're like, you know, you watch it and you're like, man, it's over already. I where did the time go? You know, you get so engrossed in it, and you're just in that zone with it. And it sounds like this is one of them. Very, very. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Napa Know How. Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Hey everybody, pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget. And, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
Cool. Now, I know you guys are on, you know, promoting this film and everything, and there's some post-production stuff that has to be done, and what have you, but it sounds like you've got a fantastic, you're at a fantastic place with it. Plans on the next project, or too soon to say? I have to ask.
Work in progress? No. So
huh?
I have a couple things I'm kind of sorting out, you know, how this one does, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, your ambitions can only match your funding to some degree. You know,
I was going to ask
my brother-in-law, you know, I'd love to tell a true story. He actually went to a small lower income school here in Cincinnati and started a chess club that ended up winning the city tournament, which I think sounds like a great movie. And, you know, I would love to tell that story. I really would love to write something and work with Josiah again. You know, and now that I've kind of hit the spot here, I really feel committed to just writing movies that I want to see. That are fun and kind of lighthearted, and you know, kind of a positive escape from the world that we have to deal with every day.
I hear that. I think we need more of that. Now, when you guys were getting this together, now I lived. I'm going to date myself now. This, you know, a million years ago, I got out of college and I went to school in Boston. Then I moved to San Diego, And when I got out there, I met all these people in entertainment. Everybody was trying to make a record or trying to make a film or a pilot or something, man. And it seemed like every other weekend, this is back before the days of crowdfunding and whatnot, they would have parties. And believe me, I donated a lot of paintings to be raffled off at parties to raise money for these projects and whatnot. And I really wish I would have thought of, you know, the whole crowdfunding idea. Because I think it's fantastic. Did you guys use crowdfunding, or did you go the investor route, or did you find a big bag of money? Because that's part of the business. How did the business side coalesce for this project? Was that a rough road to travel?
Yeah, of course. So the first initial part was completely, self-funded. I had a little bit of assistance there, but, we just kind of said, we're going to make this movie. I saw this great piece of advice a couple years ago, 18 months ago, that, you know, was basically, hey, if you want to make a movie, step number one, go make the movie, right? I mean, at some point you can only sit by and, you know, hope or wish for so long, like painting or anything else. If you want to be a painter, step number one, start painting. Having a script that I thought was tight, you know, that was the biggest piece of that was, do we have a script that we think is special? And I say that very humbly, but, you know, I passed it around to enough people who said, you know, wow, I really, really, really love this. I want to see it. So once we did that, it was a question of getting to this point. From this point, we probably will turn to some crowdfunding just for post-production costs and, some of the things we want to do for, you know, from festivals to getting it really ready, you know, from mastering the audio to, creating a DLP file and getting some stuff for distribution. And then hope that, you know, you can get it to some people who are ready to back the next one. You kind of got to have that proof of concept that, hey, look. Yeah.
It's a big part of it, you know, it's a big part of it. And, I'm telling you, sometimes on the artistic side of things, the business side of things can overshadow the art. It just seems so overwhelming sometimes. And I've done projects where investors are involved and this and that. And rarely will they just write a check and say, okay, go make your art. They usually want to be pretty involved. You know? They're putting money up, you know. Who can blame them? I'd probably
but there has
the
to be
way.
An immediate, obvious path of return. If this was a movie about the guy whose grandparents came back from the dead and were haunting the earth, it's probably an easier sell than, I want to be in love like my grandparents were. I really felt like in this case we had to have a finished film that connected with people, and people said, well, I get it now. I understand what you were going for because I just laughed my butt off for 90 minutes. Now we can talk.
Mm-hmm. So, and I feel good. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and nothing, I'm telling you, nothing sells better than, you're absolutely right, then they can see that and get it. You know, they can see it and get it. Very, very good. I have to ask both of you, if you were, I get a lot of young people listening to the show and this and that, and I'm sure that this will go out and all over the place after it's after we're done here. Young filmmakers, young actors, any advice you would give them? I'm sure there's people that want to be where you're at.
I guess I'll start. I would say, most importantly, make sure it's something that you really want to do. Because, you know, people get into things, you know, they see the glamour and the, you know, those popular things, you know, that you can see that actors do, actors and actresses. But really, for me, I would say make sure it's something that you really want to do and it's something that you really have a passion for. Because, you know, it's not all of what you see. It's not all perfect. You know, it's not all just, oh, it's easy and,
oh,
be famous. Yeah, so just for me, it's just if you have the passion, if the passion is there, you can do it. You can do it hands down. You can do it as long as you have the passion. You can do it. So focus on the passion and making sure that this is something you want to do. So that's my main thing.
Yeah, and I would probably add.
And how about you, Rob?
You got to be passionate. Making movies is really hard. You know, it takes. You know, there's the movie you write, there's the movie you set out to make, and there's the movie you end up with. You know, I would certainly recommend that anybody who wants to make movies, especially from the behind the camera end, that you find your own voice. You know, like we spoke about earlier,
right.
I don't think you can do this trying to please everybody else. I think at some point, you know, you really start to find your voice and creativity when you're really, you know, writing from, you know, some inner place where the creativity kind of is bubbling up. And then network. You know, this movie probably doesn't get made almost assuredly if I don't meet, you know, Terry B. and Joe Sofer, who pulled me into this movie a couple of years ago and make you think, well, I want to do this, right? And, you know, write the script. And, you know, I would say it's really hard. You know, my very first movie that I wrote and produced happens to be a full-length feature that, you know, I kind of just shot for the moon with. But, you know, as my dad used to always say, you got to shoot to score. So, you know,
right.
At some point you have to set a goal and say, that's what I'm going for. Find the best people you can. And go do it and learn from it. And my next one will be better than this one and hope that I continue to kind of snowball forward.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one more thing. You know, the cool thing about acting is that filmmakers are always looking for a unique character or a unique individual. So a lot of times, you know, we are people that love acting and want to do acting. They look at other actors and try to be like them or try to imitate them.
Mm-hmm.
But what's so cool is that the actors that really go far and that's really successful, they have their own unique approach, their own unique identity in acting, which makes them successful. So like Rob said, you know, just be yourself and, you know, you'll go far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, fantastic advice. Fantastic advice. The film was
called Josiah would
Stardust,
probably add.
Folks, and...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I think Josiah would probably also add, especially when you're starting out on the acting side, there's no role that's too small because you never know who you meet,
right.
Who you connect with, and that they don't turn around and say, hey, I wrote a script for you. I'd love for you to star in it.
Nice.
No.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's never happened to me. Oh. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. Got to keep shooting for the stars. Well, that's cool. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know, again, Touch of Stardust, and you can get to the website, www.touchofstardust.com. Very easy to find. Fantastic website, too. It has all the cast on there and just everything you'd want to know. Very, very cool. Some cool stills and whatnot. And big shout out to all of the fine folks in the movie and who helped bring the movie together. There's a lot, I imagine, A-Rock and Josiah.
Yes.
A lot of people. That's cool.
Yes,
that's cool. Now, one of the cool things I forgot to mention earlier is this movie, you guys shot it all around Cincinnati, right? I mean, so if you're familiar with the Cincinnati, the Ohio River Valley area there in Cincinnati and surrounding areas, you're going to see a lot of places. There's a lot of brick buildings in this movie, I imagine.
There are, although we kind of, you know, a lot of productions come to town. They love our downtown area, especially because we have some cool areas like Over the Rhine and Northside and places that look like other cities, especially, you know, Harlem and Brooklyn and these other areas, because it's a lot cheaper. You get the tax breaks. You come to Cincinnati. You make it look like old New York. You know, it's much easier to find the architecture that existed in New York many years ago or other cities. And so a lot of times you see Cincinnati on screen, but it's, you know, like a Rage in Harlem or something where it's not – you're not really in Harlem.
Right.
What we wanted to do is, you know, I wanted to take an African-American cast, and I want to take it – wanted to take them to these eclectic neighborhoods, the very Norman Rockwell-esque small town areas of Cincinnati, and shoot this romantic fairy tale in this picturesque setting to kind of really give it that, you know, Frank Capra kind of feel. So that's what we did. You know, it you know, rather than put it in the more urban areas, we went to the suburbs and shot – in those areas, and I think it turned out well, and it adds a different vibe to the movie. You know, we did the same thing
almost
with the music. You know, I could have. Yeah, and just, you know, it lends more to an escape, like more of a romantic kind of, you know, removal of the everyday, you know, in an area where you usually don't see those movies set.
That's cool. That is very cool. Well, I think, you know, from what I've seen, it looks pretty cool to me. You know, what do I know? I'm just a painter in Florida. But no, I watch a lot of movies, man, I'm telling you. And yes, folks, they're not just all sci-fi movies. I watch all kinds. Like I said, man, I got a girlfriend, you know. Believe me, I have sat through a Friday evening and Say Yes to the Dress once or twice. It happens.
Haven't we
all? Nothing wrong with that. It's a great show. Oh, man, I got to watch what I'm saying. But friends of some of the people on that show that might be listening. I'll be getting an email. No, hopefully not. They know. Very, very cool, though. So this, hopefully, we're looking at probably in a couple months or something, this will be out and about and people can be seeing it. Again, one of the best things you can do, folks, if you go to the website, scroll down, and down at the bottom there, you can put in your email address, and you'll get updates, screenings, and events, and all that kind of jazz. Good stuff to do, and you'll stay in the loop. Also, do we have links to that on the show page? We will have, just as soon as the show's over, to Yosiah's Facebook page and whatnot. So be sure to like that. No, Yosiah, I wanted to ask, you just had a music single come out too, right?
Yes. I had a music single called For It. Actually, I released back in April. The local music scene really picked it up immediately. I got some media coverage in City Beat Cincinnati, which is a local publication that's been around for many, many years. So it's just a blessing to see everything flourish and come together. And Rob, actually, outside of acting, Rob gave me the opportunity to put a few of my songs in the film. So, I can't thank Rob enough, man. You know, I don't think he knows how much I appreciate him.
Yeah. And as we spoke, some
like
of those tracks.
Off at all, do you?
No.
Yeah.
As we get the Kickstarter campaign going, some of those tracks will be available for download. As we, you know, we try to fund the back end of this a little bit using crowdfunding. You know, there'll be some cool things that people will be able to pick up that they might not be able to get their hands on otherwise.
Well, that's awesome.
Including
that
two great
is
tracks.
Awesome. So again, go ahead.
No,
you
two great tracks from
Uzziah.
That's okay. And some of the other, we have a really cool soundtrack to the film and a lot of great artists here locally who contributed, you know, Kyle English and Jeff Lamb and Freedom Moore. So a lot of opportunity to pick up some of the music and maybe some signed posters or Skype sessions. So, we're excited about what the future holds.
How cool. Well, I want to stay right in touch with you on that because we'll have you guys back on the show when that gets underway. And anything we can do to help get the word out on that. That's very, very cool. I'm excited about this project. Your passion in it is infectious to me, and that's very inspiring to me. I got to tell you guys, man, sometimes, like, you know, I have those days once in a while where I'm like, I don't want to do it today, and then now I'm going to say, well, Rob and Yosiah are doing 15 things today, so you better get it in gear, Jamie. Get it in gear. Get to work. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Well, I think this is just going to go gangbusters. There's no, you know, you're just going up with this. That's awesome. 400 people are digging what you're laying down. That's got to be a good feeling, you know, especially after so much work.
Absolutely.
And that was just one night.
We,
you know?
You know, it was and, you know, we probably had 50 people standing in the back, you know, standing room only debut, which was, you know, really a test screening, like I said. And, you know, the response has been overwhelming. You know, you look for just a little sign that you may have something that people want to see. And now we feel really good about it. And, you know, we will continue to build on the momentum and try to get this in front of as many people as possible. And, again, you know, I set out, I really just wanted to spread a little bit of happiness with this in a very modest way. That's still the goal. And, you know, the more people who can like it and dig it, you know, the more rewarding the whole thing has been.
Nice, nice. Well, keep doing what you're doing, guys, because you're real good at it. And I think it's just awesome. Just fantastic. Very, very cool. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and it has been one of those times. I've been having so much fun talking to you guys that the hour just zipped by. I can't believe it. How did that happen? Outstanding. Well, you know, I can't wait to have you guys back on. Hey, I want to thank you guys for taking the time, though, to be on the show and classing the joint up around here. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Like I said, I'm a fan.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, thanks. Thanks. That's cool. It's always nice, you know, when people are liking your stuff. That's a good thing. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to about wrap it up. But this show will be converted to a podcast and put out on all the various social media platforms, including up on iTunes. If you are listening to the show in the future on iTunes, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. That keeps us up at the top of the page. And we like that. And our advertisers really like it, too. And, you know, it keeps the lights on around here. So, hey, that's not a bad thing. Cool, cool, cool. Man, I had fun tonight. Good show. And go when you can see it, when it's playing in your area, go check out A Touch of Stardust and the upcoming Kickstarter when that gets underway and whatnot. You know, help out with that too. You know, throw a couple bucks in there. Why not? You know, forego a Starbucks coffee and or 100 of them. You know, whatever you got laying around. do your part. You know, you never know. You never know. There could be, like, you know, the Monopoly man's listening with big bags of money going, yeah.
That's right.
let me write a check. Stranger things have happened, you know. Oh, man. Well, that's cool. Well, thank you guys again. And, you know, keep doing it. Keep doing it. I can't wait to see more.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jamie.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us tonight. So have a great night. Tonight is Monday. We will be back tomorrow. Film week continue. Well, it's not really film week. We have an actor tomorrow. Bishop Stevens just did a movie called Payday, and that'll be, I believe, coming out this
Chase
year,
Dudley?
Maybe next year. But he's going to – I'm sorry?
Chase Dudley. Yep.
Yep, Chase Dudley, yep. And, yeah, Bishop's going to be on tomorrow and talking about acting and all of that. And so we will see you then. Have a good night, everybody, and – you know, oh, and for the people that have been emailing me and asking on Twitter, it's not a hurricane, man. It's all the way down by, like, Mexico. I'm fine. Knock on wood. We're okay. But thanks for your concern. I appreciate that. We will talk to everybody tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.